Happy holidays from Haney Biz, and I hope you enjoy this show that we did a couple of years back. It was a live broadcast. The show was called Entrepreneurs Unlimited. It was co-hosted by my son Marcus and, of course, my good buddy Tom Cisneros at the time. We had a lot of fun. I hope you enjoy this throwback show.
Welcome to Entrepreneurs Unlimited with Mark Haney on KHTK Sports 1140 and HaneyBiz.com. Mark is a well-known local entrepreneur who has a passion for growing companies and uncovering the stories of other successful business people. Mark will share his and their experiences and hopes to ignite the entrepreneurial spirit within you. And now, here's Mark Haney.
All right. Merry Christmas. Today is Christmas Eve, and you know, I was going to start it off with a little song. It's beginning to cost a lot like Christmas, but I decided not to sing. I have only sung once on this show, and it was to my wife. But I want to say Merry Christmas, Happy Hanukkah, Feliz Navidad, Happy Holidays. We are an equal opportunity radio program. And you know what? We are here to talk business with all y'all today. I'm here with Marcus Haney and Tom Cisneros. And you know what? How you guys doing?
Merry Christmas.
Yeah, we are keeping the faith that Santa Claus is going to treat us right tomorrow morning. Am I right?
You know it.
Marcus, are you, now you came in a little bit serious mood today. Now, what's up? Are you okay now?
You know, I'm always okay. Once I get on the mic, I get myself a little loosened up and I'm ready to rock. Happy to be here on Christmas Eve.
You know what? I told Santa, Marcus, that you had been a good boy this year. And you
it's
know what happened?
Time.
He fell down laughing. Santa Claus fell down laughing. But we are here. But you got to believe, right? We got to believe. Now, Tom, Merry Christmas to you.
Thanks, man.
What do you got going tomorrow for Christmas? You got a big day. How's it looking?
We've got a family thing going on. We got Brian over here. Do people even know Brian?
Brian in the back. No, people don't know Brian. We have Brian, who's our media director.
You got a promotion.
Today we're going to talk about keeping the faith, right? We got to keep the faith. Am I right?
Yeah.
Now, how do you go about keeping the faith? Tom, I was going to get you. I'm getting you Crocs for Christmas now. Okay, that's what's going to show up underneath your tree from me, Marcus. How about you keeping the faith? Let's talk about that. You got to believe, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I think as a kid, I was always taught from you and Mom that hey, if you don't believe, you don't receive, right?
Yeah. Well, I still remember that awkward moment when you discovered that the Christmas wrapping paper that Santa Claus used was similar to the one your mom used.
And it was funny because the same handwriting, too. I didn't know I had to decipher that.
It's always an awkward moment. But as entrepreneurs, we got to keep believing as young people hoping for a good Christmas gift.
Because you never know, right?
You got to believe, right?
Did she really say that? If you don't believe, you won't receive?
She says it. I'm 28.
She told me that last night.
That's a standard date night thing that Mark's getting all the time.
Oh, my gosh. So, Tom, we're going to move on. We got a great show for you today.
Actually, I got something for you.
Would
it be all right if I give you your Christmas gift a little early?
Now please. We're talking live. Hey, if you want to check it out on Facebook Live, it's probably a good opportunity to check out this present.
Okay. Well, here's the deal. This is my second to last show. I'm moving on January 1st. Got something exciting happening
in my
life.
Start a new business.
Yeah, we'll talk about that
thing
a little later. But I got to thinking, what do you give the guy that has everything, right?
Oh, gosh.
I mean, that's not... something that you don't need penicillin to get rid of.
Yeah, right? Okay.
but at this point, I mean, you've done such an incredible job with this show, and you know, you started at A and you're all the way to Z now, and I just can't see you using those headphones.
Well,
because those are not broadcasting headphones.
Oh.
So these are the actual the same kind that is pretty standard in the industry. So
these ones I'm wearing have been the economy headphones?
They're not economy. They're just different. But those are actual
these studio monitor. A little plug for Sony. We got some Sony headphones. Thank you, Tom.
No, you're welcome.
Wow. I will wear these proudly. I hope to
fill them out.
I hope I can fill out these headphones.
Just so you know, I still have to shop for you.
Tell me something I don't know. It's going to be a great day. This afternoon, I'm going to be working at my other low-paying job, stuffing the family's Christmas stop stockings, but, you know, they don't have a great dinner planned with my mother and father-in-law. So it's going to be a great day, but later in the show, we will meet Shane Anderson. You are going to be blown away by his horrific yet courageous story of being kidnapped in Mexico and held for ransom. Shane's story is a vivid example of keeping the faith. But after the break, get ready to meet Greg Conley and get healthier. Greg has launched Trifecta Nutrition, an exciting organic meal delivery service that allows clients to focus on living healthy without planning, shopping, or cooking. Too good to be true? We will find out after the break. Join the conversation on Facebook Live. This is Entrepreneurs Unlimited, and we'll be back in just a minute. Join the revolution at HeyBiz.com, brought to you courtesy of Consolidated Communications.
The holiday season is here, and there's no place like here, Pottery World. With thousands of unique, one-of-a-kind items from all over the world, you'll find that special gift for you-know-who. Visit Pottery World and experience the spectacular holiday decor, El Dorado Hills and Rockland.
Welcome back to Entrepreneurs Unlimited, presented by Five Star Bank, the Entrepreneurs Bank. I'm Mark Haney, and today I am joined by Greg Conley, the founder, the co-founder, and CEO of the healthy meal delivery company, Trifecta Nutrition. How you doing today, Greg?
I am excellent. Thanks for having me on.
I love it. I'm glad you came down here on Christmas Eve, and you know we're talking about your business and the food that you guys do. Why don't we start off by talking a little bit about what Trifecta is?
Sure. So Trifecta is a fully cooked meal delivery service. So I'm sure a lot of your listeners are familiar with the ingredient delivery services where they get ingredients delivered to their house and cook the food. And we're kind of the next generation beyond that, where we deliver fully cooked meals in bulk to people's houses.
Now, it's fully cooked. What if I like my stuff medium rare? Can you cook it just the way I like it?
For you, Mark, we can do that.
Special order. All right. So tell us about, now it's healthy stuff. What kind of food is it?
We've got pretty much everything under the sun at this point. So steaks, salmon, burgers, chicken, you name it. We just try and make sure we pick a lot of healthy options to make it a little bit more specific for people. So they can choose from any number of meal plan types. If you're a vegan or vegetarian or you like general clean eating, we kind of give people a good spread of options.
Okay, so what happens? I order it from you and then you deliver it in advance? I mean, advance of it, because it's not going to stay for too long, right?
Correct. So we ship it in a refrigerated case, and it is delivered once a week on Friday. So you get a week's worth of meals. They're fully vacuum sealed, and you just take them out of your fridge or, fridge at the office, et cetera, when you want to eat them. And, you can either throw them in the grill, pop them in the microwave, whatever's easiest, and boom, you got a fully cooked meal.
What's the most popular food?
Most popular, I would say, is probably our Alaskan salmon. Wild caught, and you wouldn't be able to tell the difference between.
Salmon, man.
That's phenomenal.
My wife, if you're listening, Stacy, I know you are. We've got a few steady listeners. My wife happens to be one of them. Don't be shy about getting me that salmon for my for Christmas if you get a chance. But so, if I'm an athlete, which I am, right? How does Trifecta help me? I mean, I can focus on my training and then I can eat the healthy food?
Sure. So for a lot of athletes, doing the meal prep is a really difficult piece. I know you had, Uriah Faber and Van Zandt down here. We're shipping her food now. So,
all right. Paige is a customer, huh? Yeah, and she eats healthy. You could tell, huh?
Yeah, exactly. And for them, they want to focus on training. For business professionals, they want to focus on, work, their profession. Maybe you've got kids, whatever the situation is. For most people, the crippling factor keeping them from eating healthy is time. So we take the time of grocery shopping and meal prepping and all that type of stuff out of the equation.
Okay, so they decide in advance, and now I can get a subscription, right? Or I can sign up for a year's worth of food? Or how does that work?
So most people just order, week to week. So you could sign up for a year's worth of food if you wanted to, but average person orders once a week, maybe once every other week. And they just set it up for whatever they want. And then they don't have to worry about grocery shopping at all again.
And I think eating healthy is something that's hard to do because it's hard to be self-disciplined, right? So I can imagine that your service sort of forces it, the food is coming, and so you have to eat the healthy stuff if it's coming anyway.
Exactly right. So that's really the big, I guess, key to the equation is the psychology behind healthy eating. And for most of us, myself included, we eat whatever is in front of us.
Right.
My wonderful media director over here in the corner will bring donuts to the office every once in a while, and I will have a donut just because they're
there.
It's awful. So you eat what's in front of you, and we just try and make sure people always have fully cooked, healthy food right in front of them. Otherwise, they're, you know, going out to eat or doing whatever's easiest.
You know,
so we want to make it easier.
You have a media director. We talk about this a little bit on Facebook Live, and he brings donuts in. Our media director, he doesn't ever bring any food in. Brian, we need to talk a little. We may have to take away that promotion. Sorry about that.
You're throwing him under the bus.
Yeah, but okay, so here's something for a guy like me. I like to eat unhealthy. Can I get that stuff from you?
Well, it depends on what you think of unhealthy. We have things like, steak and potatoes or burgers or, you know.
But not chocolate-covered pretzels and Bud Light. You guys do not have that.
we do not have Bud Light and chocolate-covered pretzels.
No, okay. So, okay. do you have competition that does stuff like that? Who is your competition? It seems like there's a lot of people that are getting into the food delivery space. Who's the competition out there, and how do you guys really differentiate yourself?
Sure. So there definitely are a lot of companies getting into the space. We happen to have a big lead in the all-organic side of the fence. So our meals are 100% organic, gluten-free, dairy-free, soy-free, et cetera. We take care of most of the allergens.
Everything's gluten-free.
Everything's gluten-free
as well.
Because
it seems like there's a lot of people that are tired of gluten.
whether they need to be or not, yes, there are. And yeah, we just, remove the kind of big allergens that most people are worried about, you know, to make it simple. And because of that, we've been able to scale nationwide very quickly. So we now ship to all 50 states, you know, hundreds of thousands of meals. It's a lot of food.
When did you guys launch the business?
In August of 2015, so about 15 months ago.
15 months ago, and you're already nationwide.
Mm-hmm.
Incredible. That's incredible. What do you attribute to that growth?
I think a big part of it is we've done something that I think a lot of your, you know, entrepreneur listeners can use as a big takeaway is we partnered with big influencers in our space. So celebrity athletes, major diet partners, you know, people like that that are already talking to people about eating healthy, and all we have to do is provide them with food. They eat the food. People see them eating the food, and then, boom, they're going from social media to our website and trying it out for themselves.
Wow. So, Greg Connolly surrounding himself with famous people that eat healthy and helping them to getting them to help promote the product. Great idea. When we come back, we're going to hear more about the Greg Connolly story and get a little more info about the business Trifecta. This is Entrepreneurs Unlimited, and we'll be back in just a minute.
There's no such thing as business as usual. What passed for complete insurance coverage last year may no longer be enough. Are you opening a new location, hiring new employees, or launching a new product? Any of these create new risk for you and your organization. By putting you at the center of everything, Hub will develop a tailored insurance solution for the risks you see and the ones you don't. We're looking out for you and looking ahead for you. Learn more about what John O'Bronson, a division of Hub International, can do for you at hubinternational.com.
Getting down to business takes teamwork. At Consolidated Communications, we're always on the job, making sure you have the tools you need to get to work anytime and anywhere you need to. That's why our local staff works 24/7 to deliver powerful, secure, always-on internet, voice, cloud, managed IT, and security services like next-generation firewall. Consolidated has the right solution at the right price to keep you running smoothly. So let's get down to business today. Connect with us at consolidated.com.
Welcome back to Entrepreneurs Unlimited, presented by Five Star Bank. I'm Mark Haney, and today I am rejoined by Greg Connolly, co-founder and CEO of Trifecta Nutrition. And we're talking about how you got started with Trifecta a little bit earlier, but how did you arrive at the name Trifecta? And you were already in a successful business prior. Tell us about that.
Sure. So Trifex is actually my fifth business. So,
wow.
You know, for entrepreneurs, I'm
and how
I'm
old
up there
are you?
With
like,
guys like
half
you.
My age.
I'm 33. So,
oh my
so
gosh.
I've been doing it since I was 18.
Good for
started
you.
Started my first company in college. But
what was that company, by the way?
It was a web design firm. Back when the internet was first kind of coming out, we'd go around and try and tell people the yellow pages are going to die.
Well, I think you had a little Nostradamus going on there. I think you had looks like it's happening.
Yeah. So we so the impetus behind it was we were running a healthy drink company and talking to one of our bigger diet partners. You know, we kind of came to the conclusion that we weren't going to have a huge impact on people's health without doing food.
Gotcha.
So, that's really what led us into exploring, okay, how can we solve the convenience problem of eating healthy? Because there's tons of convenient ways to eat unhealthy. You got McDonald's, Taco Bell, you name it. But there's no kind of fast food for healthy options. So
and you can't just drink yourself healthy. You got to eat a little bit.
Yeah, I tried that. Yeah, that's a little bit more difficult. But yeah, we wanted to, you know, kind of solve the whole equation. So the cooking, cleaning, shopping, you know, the whole nine yards.
And how did you come up with the name Trifecta?
I would have to give a shout out to our branding firm, McLean Design,
out
in the Bay Area. They came up with it. There's a lot of threes when it comes to eating. There's three meals a day, three macros, you know, protein, fat, and carbs. There's fork, spoon, and knife, a whole bunch of threes. So
we
thought Trifecta was cool, and it didn't pigeonhole us into one particular diet type, like vegetarian or clean eating or paleo or whatever.
And trifecta is kind of a positive term too, right? Trifecta is like three things that are great. I like it a lot. It's easy to remember. Now you started it with a partner. Can you tell us about that?
So my sister, who actually worked at another successful company here in Sacramento, Point of Sale Portal, was a channel manager for PayPal and Square, and she had just come off of another software company that was acquired by Intuit called Demandforce, and told her we've got a great idea for a meal delivery service. We think we have all the resources in place to launch it. Had already gotten the name from the branding firm at that point, and made a really solid sales pitch for her to quit her job and join the crazy people like us.
Now, is she the older sister or younger sister?
She's younger.
She's actually younger.
My baby sister, she's 6 years younger than me.
So she doesn't mind you bossing her around.
It's vice versa sometimes, but yeah.
Okay, I see how it is. Sometimes working with family can present a lot of cool stuff, but you guys ever run into any challenges working together?
Absolutely. I think we initially set it up so that since I was the more experienced entrepreneur, if we really couldn't, come to a conclusion on something, I would have the trump card and could ultimately make the decision. But for the most part, we try and talk things out when we disagree on things.
Two really successful young people launching something like this. This is incredible. I mean, you guys are from the Sacramento area, and you had moved away and done some successful stuff. Now you both came back to your hometown, and I know you went to Del Oro. Why come back to the hometown?
For a few reasons. I mean, one, you know, happy to be back. My parents live here, you know, love the community. I had done 7 years in San Francisco and 7 years in Los Angeles. And growing up in Sacramento, you love to be able to see some open spaces and green. And it's just that it's a hard community to beat.
Now, it's Christmas time. Does the whole family get together? What's that look like?
They do. So my parents live out in Davis, as do my wife's parents. So we get everybody together, eat plenty of turkey and stuff.
You guys eat crappy. Food. I love that food. But it's a cheat day. Is that what happens?
Yeah. We call this a cheat meal period through the holidays. But yeah, there's a little pretzels and beer mixed in, too.
Oh, well, that sounds like Davis. It's a little ways over, but I may be able to swing by there if there's anything.
Well, you're always welcome.
Yeah, I appreciate that. Now, what's the future look like for Trifecta? Because you guys have started, and you've grown incredibly fast. Tell us about that growth a little bit more, and then what does it look like? I mean, how does this thing really blow up and scale?
Sure. So we've now grown over 14,000%.
Whoa.
Since we launched, we're in the, well into the multi-millions in sales. And right now we are raising our Series A. So we're going to try and raise a whole bunch of money to really scale it to the next level, which will be, you know, possibly opening a production facility on the East Coast.
Wow.
You know, doing various other things like that, really expanding the web presence, hiring more developers, you know, establishing the organization in a much bigger way.
Now, what about, have you guys ever thought about taking radio show guys as investors or anything? Because, I mean, this 14,000%, are you kidding me?
Yeah, it's been crazy since we started. I think we are just in a space that is exploding, and we have a really solid lead on the organic side. And because of that, we've got the wind at our backs, and I'm just trying not to screw it up.
And so if my wife wants to buy me some salmon from Alaska, get me hooked up, over, get me eating a little less of those, little less of that junk food, what does she do? She goes to your website? How does that work?
Yeah, she just goes to our website. If she just wants Alaskan salmon, she can just click, you know, a la carte and you know, put some salmon in her cart and we cook it and ship it right to her. So it's pretty straightforward. And have your wife reach out to me so I can hook her up.
We will do that. I appreciate you coming on the show today and appreciate you bringing your media director, Jason, to get a little few good shots. I mean, a great story of success as a young guy. It's great to have this kind of success. In Sacramento, the youth, I can't thank you enough for coming back to my hometown as well and really growing the business here. Because if it's going to grow like that, I mean, it's going to be one of the it is one of the coolest businesses in Sacramento. But as it gets bigger, it's going to be so much more. So
absolutely.
You.
Well, yeah, I really appreciate you having me out.
You bet. When we return, we will hear Shane Anderson's story. It's a story of courage and unwavering faith. Join the conversation on Facebook Live. This is Entrepreneurs Unlimited, and we will be back in just a moment.
Hi, this is Craig Hetrick, founder of the Hetrick Group. I'm a business architect, a catalyst that enables CEOs to design and build great companies by learning, adopting, and mastering the best practice disciplines of great organizations. And when we strengthen all components and highly differentiate your business, you have built the foundation to scale and ultimately grow your valuation. To learn more about becoming a great company, you can find me at hetrickgroup.com.
Like every king who lost the crown, and all those years are history. Welcome back to Entrepreneurs Unlimited, presented by Five Star Bank. I'm Mark Haney, and today I am joined by Shane Anderson, a man with a story of uncommon courage and undeniable faith. Thanks for coming down today, Shane.
Thanks for having me.
You bet. How are you doing this morning?
Wonderful.
Okay. Well, this is one of those opportunities that I've been looking forward to for a long time, and we have a chance to share a story that happened to you that started off entrepreneurial and has sort of it took a horrible turn. Tell us what happened.
Yeah. So not a great success story, but at least there's some lessons to be learned. After graduating from college, I had a great opportunity to work with a group of investors who had a exploding business in Mexico. It was a great opportunity for me, not so much for my wife, who was pretty terrified at the prospect.
She didn't want to go to Mexico.
Not at all.
What about your mom? Your mom and I are friends. What did she think about you going to Mexico to work?
I don't think anyone thought it was a good idea but me.
But you were ambitious. Okay, so you're chasing this dream in Mexico. What happens?
So I'd been there for a year and a half. We'd had a great time, my wife and I. We had a lot of great friends. Work was going great. It was my day off. I'm a sportsman, so I wanted to go fishing. And a coworker took me out to his ranch to go fishing. And we just about pulled up, and a truck pulled in front of us and slammed on the brakes. And
so you're out in the middle of the country to go fishing, and you're going down a road, and someone comes in front of you.
Yeah, they slammed on their brakes and jumped out with AR-15s pointed at us, and made us jump in the back of their truck. And so it all happened within a split second. You know, we were just about to pull out the fishing poles, and next thing you know, we're face down in the back of a truck, speeding away.
And it's on like bumpy road. I can picture Mexico being a bumpy road, and you're face down, scared to death, I'm assuming.
Yeah, well, I was in shock. You know, I kept closing my eyes and opening them back up, thinking that, you know, it was a dream. Like, you know, what?
Oh, man.
You know, make it go away. It's, and I was looking over at my at my coworker, and he just looked white as a ghost. He was a Mexican national, so he was more familiar with the what was happening.
What part of Mexico were you in?
Monterrey, Mexico.
Okay, that's what I thought.
Just a couple hours south of the Texas border. And the look on his face was, he was terrified. And I was looking for him for, you know, for comfort, you know, for him to say, you know, it's going to be okay.
Yeah.
And I asked him, I said, you know, are we going to live? And he didn't respond. And so I knew it was, you know, it was pretty serious.
Oh, man. So, okay, so these guys are taking you away down this road. You're laying down there with your buddy. And then what happened?
And then they took us about a 45-minute trip south, east of where we were, out into the country.
And you're in the back of the truck this entire time?
Yep.
Okay.
Just face down. And we finally get to this farmhouse next to a river. And we get out. They hand me the phone. You know, we want a bunch of money. Call your boss.
Okay. Oh, they wanted the corporation to fork up some cash.
Yeah.
Okay.
And so they hand me the phone. I start making phone calls. And, you know, they said, call us back. They were going to, you know, get the FBI to help them with the ransom payments.
The company said, call you back.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So in that time, my coworker, they had stolen my car. We were driving my car. They wanted his car, too. He had a brand new car, he said. So they sent him with one of the guys to go into the city to grab his car. And they looked at him and said, if you run, we're going to kill your friend.
Oh, man.
And so I looked at him and I said, you know, whatever you do, don't run. You know?
Yeah. Did he run?
Well, so they took off, and we were sitting there, and they'd been doing cocaine the whole time, and
the guys that had captured you,
yeah, and they looked like they had a pretty rough night the night before, and
okay.
So they were starting to doze off, and I was sitting right next to him, and one of the guys had his hand touching, you know, just resting over his handgun.
And this is like you've been kidnapped for about 6 or 8 hours at this point. How long had you been kidnapped?
Correct.
Okay, six or 8 hours. You see everybody starting to doze off. They're drug guys. And mm-hmm. Okay, and he's laying there with his hand by the gun.
Yeah, his hand's resting on top of his handgun.
Okay.
But it was right there in front of me, and he was, you know, dozing off. His eyes were closed.
Oh, man.
The other two guys had their eyes closed, and, you know, they were holding their guns. And I thought, I'm going to grab that gun, and I'm going to shoot these two, you know, all three of these guys. And I'll, you know, I'll make it out of here somehow. And I went to do it, and my body was just frozen. And I was second guessing myself it was because I was afraid, but I wasn't, because, you know, I grew up with guns. I know how to use them. You know, I felt justified in doing what I was going to do, but I felt this voice tell me, don't touch that gun. And so, I second guessed myself. I said, you know, just do it, you know, it's your only way to live. And I went to do it, and my body just wouldn't move. And I heard that voice again say, don't touch that gun.
Wow.
And so,
What do you think that voice was?
Well, you know, I you know, I'm a man of faith. I know it was God telling me not to. And so I didn't. They woke up a couple minutes later, and the guy said to the guy that I was going to grab his gun, he said, why do you have that gun? That's the one without bullets, and take this one.
Oh, man.
So I would have grabbed it and gone click, 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 and, you know,
oh.
That would have been the end. So
you would have grabbed the gun with no ammo.
And so right then I felt like, okay, you know, God's with me. God's on my side. You know, I just need to, you know, listen and follow his guidance. So a little while later after that, the guy who had taken my coworker comes back, and he's alone. And they start panicking, and he jumps out of the truck and says he ran. And so they throw me in the back of the truck again. We race off to another farmhouse about 10 minutes away, and we're in the back of this we're in this agricultural building, this abandoned agricultural building, and the two main guys were debating back and forth for about a half an hour, you know, should we kill him and forget about this kidnapping? Because, you know, he's probably called the police. They're on to us. You know, they were panicked. You know, they were high. And they were young, too. These kids were, one was 15, one was 17, one was 19.
Oh, man.
19,
kids so. Younger than you. You were at the time. How old were you at the time?
27 or 28.
Okay, so these kids have kidnapped you, kind of kids. They're young adults.
Yeah. And so I was on the edge of my seat, you know, raising my hand. You know, do I have an opinion here?
Like, they're debating whether they're going to kill you or not. And you're like, hey, yeah. Maybe can I help you guys with that? Yeah, I can picture that.
Yeah, so... eventually, they decided, you know, let's go through with this. Let's try to get the money.
Okay.
And so we went to another farmhouse. Well, it was more like a little group of houses out in the middle of the country where all the farm workers lived. And they put me in a little cement, like 10 by 10 shack. And they went to go get the ransom. I'm skipping a lot for time.
That's
sake,
all right,
but,
yeah.
We had arranged at that point for a ransom payment to be made. We didn't have the resources that they were asking for, to say the least.
Okay. Nobody could come up with the money.
So we came up with about, you know, just in that couple hours, about $4,000 or $5,000.
Okay.
And they were going to drop it off at in a park garbage can that these guys could go grab. And so, you know, I was waiting with the gun to my head while they, you know, picked it up to make sure if it didn't go over well, you know, that was it. But everything went smoothly. They came back and they said, you know, that's enough for you to live for tonight. Tomorrow we want more. And so they left me there in that cement shack for me to alone for the night.
And in that village, people knew you were kidnapped. There was a lot of people that saw you, but nobody tried to help.
Correct. And not to say that they were all bad people, but...
Being kidnapped was accepted in that village.
Well, you know, if they opposed it, you know, they would be at risk. And so either the people were in on it, or even if they were against it, they couldn't do anything about it. Otherwise, you know, they'd be at risk. And so, and they told me too, you know, even if you run, the police here are in cahoots with us. They'll bring you right back here. Don't try anything. And so there I was for the whole night, you know, just me and myself. And I, you know, I didn't sleep a wink.
And you probably were contemplating, how do I get out? I mean, what were the thoughts? What are my options?
Right. So, you know, I was, again, trying to, you know, follow what I thought God was leading me to do. And I thought about running and, you know, other ways I could escape. But I felt that I should, you know, for the time being, stay there.
Yeah. And your wife's wedding ring played a role in your ultimate escape or release.
Yeah. So I'll fast forward to that. So the next day we arranged another ransom payment, and I had been watched by one of the guys, and I tried to make conversation with him to, you know, kind of break down the walls, make him see me as a person. So,
yeah, make him like you a little bit.
Yeah, you know, and I got him to tell me about the amount they wanted.
Okay.
The minimum amount they wanted. And I knew that based on the ransom payments that we were able to come up with, it was going to be about, you know, $5,000 short.
Oh, gosh.
And so we got off the phone with arranging the last ransom payment, and they said, you know, stand up and stand next to this.
$5,000 short. What was the total amount? $25,000 or something like that?
It was about that.
It's, yeah.
And I had to stand next to this kind of steep cliff, not a cliff, but a very steep hill with a bunch of garbage at the bottom. You can tell it was their little dump, and there was a bunch of, like, you know, old appliances and garbage down there. And he handed the AR-15 to one of the guys and said, you're going to do it. And so I stood there, and the guy got up and he raised the gun at me. And, you know, I said, no, I can get more money. Let me call him back. And they said, no, you know, you've had 2 days. You know, we're sorry. This is out of our hands. You know, we need to kill you. And it just came out of my mouth. I said, my wife's wedding ring.
Oh,
give me the phone. I'll have my wife's wedding ring, and it's worth $8,000. You know, put me on the phone.
Yeah.
And he paused, and he threw the phone to me. And
you got the gun, the AR-15 pointed at you, and saying, "I need to." Oh man.
And so earlier that day, my wife, she was at the building with the FBI and the Mexican FBI, their version of the FBI. And she said that she felt a prompting to go back to the house to get her wedding ring. She needed her wedding ring.
Oh, she didn't have the wedding ring on.
No.
But some voice told her to go get the wedding ring.
Yeah, and they said no. She insisted. They went back and got it. So.
Oh, yeah, she wasn't supposed to go back to the house, right? Probably
no,
in case somebody's looking at it.
Yeah, so it was a risk. And so she insisted. They let her go back and get it. And when I called, I said, do you have your wedding ring? I was expecting no. She said, I do. And she put it in the bag with the money to go out. And I said, you know, I hung up the phone and said, the wedding ring's in the bag. And the main guy
at the pickup location, the wedding ring's in the bag with the cash at the pickup location, right?
Headed towards the pickup location.
Okay, got it.
So, you know, he started laughing and he said, you might have saved your life. We'll see. I'm going to take a look at it and, you know, make sure it's there. And so, they went, some of the guys went to go pick it up, you know, while I was waiting there. They came back. They said, you know, what does it look like? I said, you know, center stone, two stones on the side. And he said, that's it. And then they started laughing and said, you know, if you can make it out of here alive, you know, you did it. And so
they sort of said, just start running for it.
Essentially. Yeah. And so, a kid from that little village who you know, was sympathetic to my situation, took me and led me across through a river and through a little forest, and we waited for a bus, and we got on the bus and went to, and he paid for my toll, and he told me that, you know, God had told him to help me, and that, you know, he normally wouldn't do something like that, but we made it to a smaller city. From there, I took a taxi. And, you know, finally made it back to my family.
The voices, the wedding ring. We only have a minute left. What's your takeaway from this?
I go back to the night that I was alone and thinking about my thoughts. And it wasn't intentional, but reflecting back on it, I've done so many awesome things in my life, all the vacations and the material things I have. I didn't think about them once. All I was thinking about was my friends, my family relationships, my relationship with God. Those were the things that that meant the most when I thought I only had a couple more hours to live. And so, you know, now every day is a gift, and I try to prioritize those things in my life that, you know, that truly mean the most to me.
Shane Anderson, I want to thank you for coming on the show today. Incredible story. I know it took a lot of courage just to come in here and share that story. Every day is a gift, and I think you have your priorities. They're well established in who you are. I know you're a successful guy. You've moved on. You've managed to recover, and you lead a successful life. You have beautiful family, I just congratulate you on the courage that you've shown, and I'm proud to know you.
Thank you very much.
This is Entrepreneurs Unlimited, and we'll be back in just a minute with some closing thoughts.
I'm James Beckwith, President and CEO of Five Star Bank. As we mark our 20th year in business, we celebrate our commitment to the success of local business owners and entrepreneurs. Businesses work with us because of our entrepreneurial spirit, speed to serve, and deep connection to our market, and they trust us. We're the Entrepreneurs Bank, and we proudly support the Haney Biz platform, an important resource for business leaders and emerging companies. Visit us at fivestarbank.com.
Danny Burke here, the founder of Legion AVS. We provide the highest quality event services and management, audio, video, lighting, staging, and scenic. You never have to worry with us. We started by doing presidential political campaigns, and we bring that high-stakes mentality to every aspect of our work to keep the client happy and stress-free. We pride ourselves in being prepared to handle any and every contingency. If you want your event to be a positive experience for you and your guests, get in touch with our team at legionavs.com. We promise to make you look and sound fantastic. Can you hear the drumming? Oh, there's a revolution coming.
Well, welcome back. It is the holiday season, and I drew some strength away from Shane as I heard his story today, and as he talked about how he gets his faith and that voice. And I just think as entrepreneurs, as any of us, our confidence can be so easily lost. I mean, some days, you know, you're going along nice and you're out on a way for a fishing trip. Maybe you're even on a little bit of a winning streak, and then everything changes. I mean, winning streaks can be so fragile, and setbacks and losing streaks can be so difficult to shake. And I know, you know, it's this time of year when, I mean, I think, you know, right now in our family, things are going really, really well, but there are people right now that, you know, are in the middle of the tragedies of their life. And it's just, man, we sit here and joke about this show on this show. We have a good time because it's what we do. Back here with Marcus Haney and Tom Cisneros. Any takeaways from today's show, guys?
I got to tell you, I that is an incredible story that he just shared with us. And you took the words out of my mouth. I mean, we spent a lot of time yucking it up, right? We have a good time here. And there's nothing funny about, you know, what he experienced. And I'm sure there's all kinds of people, you know, throughout not only the United States, our region, the United States, the world, that are struggling in one way, shape, or form. And, you know, here we're very fortunate and blessed to be surrounded by family and friends and everybody being healthy and stuff. So it was a sobering experience for me.
Marcus?
Yeah, I just want to say thank you to Shane for having the courage to come on the show and tell that story. I know that couldn't be easy, but so thank you, Shane. But also, Greg Connolly, I mean, holy smokes, that guy is one heck of an entrepreneur.
Wow.
Plus really excited to see him grow his business here in Sacramento. I know he's going to do great things. So get some good food.
No doubt. And, you know, we think it's Christmas time, and we've got faith that Santa Claus is gonna treat us right tomorrow. But, I mean, faith, when you really think about the meaning of Christmas and where you get your faith from, it doesn't really have anything to do with Santa Claus or the big gifts. I'm wearing some gifts headphones that Tom gave me, and the gifts are unbelievable and they're fun, but they help make, you know, give us a reason to celebrate. But that's not where we get our faith from. That's not what Christmas is all about, is it, Tom?
No. No, you know, whenever I think about Christmas and faith, a line out of one of my favorite movies, Chariots of Fire.
Yeah, great movie.
That.
Oh, yeah.
Where does the power come from to see the race to the end? From within.
From within.
Yeah. That was Eric Little that said that.
Marcus, where do you get your faith from?
Yeah, I think within is a great answer to that. Tom kind of threw me on the spot here. Can I
piggyback? Comes up with a great answer.
Yeah, man, that's what I was going to say.
Tom, I can't top that.
Yeah. Exactly. But, you know, I think that it all comes from having confidence in yourself and surrounding yourself with good people who truly have your best interests in mind. And I think that it isn't about the gifts. It isn't about the nuances that happen during Christmas. It's getting together as a family. It's showing your appreciation for other people, human kindness, and, you know, just reaching out and being that good human that we all should be to one another.
Yeah, don't we all have kind of an obligation, especially those of us that's kind of going, things are going along okay right now.
No doubt.
Definitely time to reach out.
But everybody always gets derailed at some point, right? No one goes through life undefeated. I've heard you say that numerous times.
Yeah, I mean, and I think we all miss people at Christmas time, right? We all have 100%. People that we miss at Christmas time. I mean, I know I... You said it pretty well, or really well, Marcus. I get my strength from the man upstairs, but I also get my strength from the people that I'm around. I try to put myself around people that, you know, care about me, want what's best for me, and in turn, I want what's best for them. And together, I hope we make each other a little stronger. And I know in business that's you know, that's what it's all about. But it's also that way with our family. But there's people that we miss at Christmas time, and people that have really helped us, influenced us. I was thinking about that. My dad died on December 27th, many, many years ago. And, you know, my dad was a business guy, so we had that in common. And he wasn't the hands-on coach type guy. I can remember wanting my dad to teach me how to fix televisions and repair refrigerators and that kind of thing, because my dad had that skill. And my dad was always, after work once in a while, he would do that. And that was kind of good bonding time. But he didn't really enjoy teaching me. And I think I always wished I had some more of that. He didn't enjoy teaching me about how to fix refrigerators and TVs. He kind of set me down the road to I mean, I went to trade schools and things like that. But I never got good at it. And I think my dad knew it's not my gift, right? My gifts probably rely or lie in other areas. And my dad, I don't remember him talking about that too much, but I know that, you know, I threw a lot of parties in high school. I was the wild guy in high school, maybe not too dissimilar from the man sitting across from me.
I guess that's where I got it from, huh?
But and my parents never criticized me for being that way. My parents, they actually embraced my... who I was, and I don't remember getting patted on the back for it, but they did, you know, it wasn't, I wasn't, they were, they let me be me, and I think, I thank my dad for that, and, you know, my dad, you know, he was also a Niners fan, so I'm wearing my Niners shirt today because, you know, in his honor, because I knew I would be, I might have a minute at the end to kind of mention it, but, you know, I remember, you know, as much as my my dad and I were different, I still remember thinking how much I respected my dad, right? He and I bonded over football a lot because I was a pretty good football player, a little bit like Marcus, you know, one of those guys that hit hard, maybe the small guy that led with the head back in the day. You know, you're supposed to...
That was allowed back then.
They taught us at that point that, you know, they didn't care about head injuries back then. That's, well, hey, and now you got me the way I am.
Yeah, that explains a lot, doesn't it?
Too many collisions, but that's how... And my dad liked that, and so we bonded, I think, really a lot over football, as crazy as that sounds. That was part of our thing, but I still remember, and I'm sharing a story with you that I've shared once or twice about a Christmas when I was in kindergarten, and it was, I call it the $20 Christmas because my parents had no money at all, and, you know, we're approaching Christmas time, and I just remember going to my mom, hey, what's dad doing? My dad was scurrying around the house doing all these little projects on Sundays. And what's dad doing? Week after week, my dad would be scurrying around the house with a paintbrush doing this and that, cardboard stuff all over the living room and the smell of paint throughout the house and furniture getting moved around. I just remember, what's dad doing? And my mom would always say the same thing. It's a labor of love. And I'm like, what is a labor of love? What is that? So every week that would go by, my dad's scurrying around doing these things on Sunday. What's dad doing? It's a labor of love, my mom would say. And I'm like, a labor of love? What the heck is that? Well, we woke up Christmas morning, and I remember this so well. It was a great Christmas, and I call it the $20 Christmas. My little brother was given my old rocking chair, all painted like it was brand new. My little brother got a brand new painted, not rocking chair, rocking horse. Got a brand new rocking horse. My sister got a vanity table with a comb and a mirror, a little tiny mirror. And really, it was her dresser that was repainted to be like brand new. And I think my dad did all that. My brother, my older brother, got a little woodworking set that probably cost about $5. And I got a badge, a lot like the one that's in my hand right now, a little sheriff's badge. And I pinned it on myself, and I walked, as soon as I walked out into the living room area or into the dining room area, there was this big cardboard jail, right? My dad had built this jail, this gigantic jail, and I had the badge on me. I'm wearing around the badge. We didn't have enough money to buy me little cap guns, so I had my little six-shooter hands out, and I'd rest my brothers and sisters, and I'd put them in the jail, and... You know, I just thought to myself, this was the best Christmas ever. I got this big, gigantic jail made out of a refrigerator box that my dad had taken home from work and restored into a jail.
How cool.
It was the coolest Christmas. I'll never forget that Christmas. And I, you know, I guess as I think to you guys, we think about the meaning of Christmas and what's it all about. We talk about Christmas presents and Santa Claus. And I just wish you guys a Christmas jail kind of Christmas this year for you guys, you and your family.
And, certainly appropriate for me.
Yeah. And, yeah, jail, Tom Cisneros, yes. But I have faith. You know what? We have, Shane showed some faith in his battle. And there's people right now that are battling in different ways. It may be an addiction. It may be that their business is not doing what it's set out to do, and you're having to battle. And And I think we have to find a way to get that strength, that find that voice inside of us. Maybe it's from the man upstairs to find that strength and to keep the faith. And as I think about my dad and wearing the Niners shirt, I imagine when I see my dad right now, I envision him wearing a Niners shirt. I envision that someday I'm going to see him and we're going to be in a better place where the TV sets are never broken, so I don't need to be there to fix them. The parties, they're the best we've ever thrown. And in this place, all the little boys and all the little girls, they play in handmade cardboard jails.
Amen to that.
So to all the people that are missing someone today, I salute you. I say keep the faith. I understand. God bless you, and God bless America. Never above you, never below you,
always by your side.